Man, good morning. Good to see you here this morning. God bless you that are watching online as well. I was away last week. I was in a place called Matamoras, Pennsylvania. And for most of us, we think of Matamoras, we think that's where you go get the fireworks to bring back to New York. But I did not go there to buy fireworks. I did not do that. I had an opportunity to speak at a church there. There's a church that is looking to connect to us. Our church here, Reach Out Church, is part of a fellowship of churches called Elam Fellowship. And as a result of that, we connect with other churches. I'm an area rep for Elam Fellowship. And so this church is a wonderful church that I got to minister on Sunday morning. Wonderful, wonderful, gracious people. And we have another connection there. How many people remember Nick and Gabby Knapp? All right, well, they've gone there. They're the assistant pastors there at that church as well. So I got to visit with them. Sandra and I both went. And we just had a wonderful time there. God bless them. They're doing great things there. But I will say this. There is no place like home. Amen. And I'm not Dorothy. I'm not trying to go back to Kansas. There's no place like Reach Out Church. I am blessed to be a part of this body and all that God is doing here. And in fact, in a number of weeks, we're going to be announcing some amazing things that we're going to be doing on a global scale. And I'll just leave it at that right now and hopefully pique your interest to be excited about what God's going to be doing. But right now, I just want to ask you, as you watched that video and you saw that young man, ultimately you see the end where he becomes, a musician, but he was an aspiring musician wanting to do that. That was kind of his goal before him. And he had all these obstacles, right? First of all, there was a financial obstacle. It was going to cost him money for his guitar. He was dealing with, parents, so there's obviously a struggle going on at home. He was being beat up at school. The list goes on and on of all the different obstacles that were going on in his life to get to that goal that was before him. How many people here are dealing with obstacles in your life? I've got obstacles. Hopefully, you'd be honest enough to admit there are obstacles. And some of those are natural physical things. Some of them are emotional things. In other words, some are inside, some are outside. But regardless of that, they are obstacles. Here's something I want to tell you that if you kind of tune out at this point and this is all you get, this would still be good, all right? Now, I don't want anyone to tune out. Please don't. But the thing is that if you can remember this, this is really, really important. What we see as obstacles to God is an opportunity. You need to understand that God has no obstacles whatsoever. He does not have any obstacles, but He has opportunities. And so we as His children and believers in Him, how do we see our lives? In other words, we go to work and there's, quote, a problem there. There is an obstacle there. Do we say, oh, man, this is horrible? And, we whinge and whine about everything going on or not going on right. Or do we look at that very same thing and say, this is an opportunity for Jesus to be glorified? It could be the same in relationships. You could be having difficulty with someone, whether that be at home. Please don't look at your husband or wife or boyfriend or girlfriend. They're okay. I don't want anybody to get into trouble. But the point is, for you, that's an obstacle that's going on right now. Here's the thing. It can be, instead of that, an opportunity for God to be glorified. Which way are you going to go? And here's the thing. If we're God's children, we want to go God's way. And so that means that everything that you have perceived as an obstacle in your life can actually be an opportunity for God to be glorified and for you to grow in your faith. That is God's intent. And so it's so important for us to see that in our hearts and to connect that way rather than seeing every obstacle as a problem, as complaining, oh God, why is this happening again? Take all that way of thinking out of your just thinking and vocabulary, but rather it happens. You say, God, what are you going to do with this? How are you going to be glorified in this? This is an opportunity. Yeah, it feels like an obstacle to me. I'm not saying to deny your feelings, but what I am saying is, God, what are you going to do? How can I get through this to glorify your name? And when we begin to think that way and act that way, can I tell you, your obstacles are going to get a lot smaller because all of a sudden there are opportunities in your life. So let's define the word courage, because I believe that for us to overcome in this life, we need courage. In fact, we need great courage. So let me give you a definition, a Webster's Dictionary definition for the word courage. They'll put it up, I hope, as well. It's the ability to do something that frightens you, strength in the face of grief or pain, Again, you look at that young man back to that video, and he had all these things that he was facing, and it was difficult for him, but he had the courage to persevere. How many people want to persevere and have courage and be strong and do great things for the Lord and grow and become all that they've called to be? And I'm glad that you're honest about that. I want that for myself as well. I'm still growing. And so I realize now that the missing ingredient a lot of times in my life is courage, that willingness to overcome the fear that's on the inside. Now, I might not show fear on the outside, but on the inside, where you're like, oh, I don't know whether I can do this. You know, every Sunday morning, when I come up to preach, I know God's called me. I know He's anointed me. I know I'm supposed to be here. I know I'm in His perfect will. But every single morning, at the start of the first service, I have those little butterflies. And I have those voices say, who are you to do this? And I have to remind those voices that God has called me and appointed me and anointed me. And I'm going to give my 100% no matter what. And I had to do that at the second service. I got to do the same thing again. And I'm sure next week I'll have to do it again. And I just have to remind both myself and the powers that be that I have courage to persevere to do the will of God. Do you have that as well? See, it's a decision every day, every moment of the day, with every decision that we make. Are we walking in courage or are we walking in fear? And it's a decision each one of us make. And so here's the thing. It literally will change the course of your life, whether you were walking in strength and courage or not. How many people want to get all that God's got for them? I hope everyone here wants that. Amen. I know I do as well. And that's what we're about here at Reach Out Church, to encourage you to attain to all that God has for you. So with that in mind, I want to take you to the Scriptures. I want to take you to an account in the Scriptures that I believe is going to speak to us in multiple ways today. So if you have your Bible, your app, however you're going to go there, if you turn to the book of Joshua, I'm going to be reading out of the New King James Version this morning. So again, I know on some of the apps you can actually change the app to be the same version. So Joshua chapter 1, we're going to be spending the bulk of our time in this morning. So I'm going to read this, and then we'll talk about it. So Joshua 1, verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea towards the going down of the sun shall be your territory. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do all according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you shall go. As I look at this account, you know, one of the things that I remember sitting where you are, and I'd hear this being read or hear any story in the Old Testament being read, and the first thought that would come to my mind is, what's the point? Here we've got an account, it's a true account, but it happened thousands upon thousands of years ago. What relevancy can it have for us today? Well, I can tell you, in every way, this is relevant for you and I today. And I believe that by the end of our time together, you're going to see that very clearly. So there's a couple ways we can look at this. First of all, this is a historical document. All right, it's an event that really happened, and we see God interacting with mankind in it. And so why is that important to us? Well, here's the thing. God changes not. The Bible says He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So that means that when we see God say and do things with people in the past, then that's the same as how He acts towards us as well. And so we need to understand that and use that as a template in our walk with the Lord Jesus today. So that's the first reason. The other reason is the Bible says that the Old Testament is a type or a shadow of the New Testament. So what that means is that it's a natural thing. Okay, it shows us real life events that happen. Here's Joshua going into a real physical land, all of that. But here's the thing, it's a type and a shadow of the New Testament. In other words, it's supposed to show us spiritually how God is interacting with us today. So listen to me, we're not called to move to Israel. You know, if we're, quote, a good Christian, we should give up everything here and move to Israel and live there because that's the promised land. And the Bible says, you know, we should be in a promised land. No. What this is speaking of for us today is that God has a land of promises for you and I. In other words, the Bible is what? It's called the Old Testament, New Testament. Well, why do you have a testament? Another way you could word it, you could call it the old will and the new will. And what does that mean? Well, when someone dies, they leave what? A testament or a will of what their will is. And so literally, Jesus has done what? He gave his life on the cross of Calvary, and he left us his testament. He left us all the promises contained within God's word, and we're to go and occupy those promises. So you and I aren't to move to a physical Israel and occupy a physical land, but you and I have been called by God to go and occupy the promises he's given us through his word. It's really very relevant for us today. And so as we look at how God interacted with Joshua, we can, in a sense, see the key ingredients or the method in which Joshua was able to obtain those promises or obtain the inheritance. How many people want an inheritance? Wouldn't that be great? How many people have over the years, I won't ask you to share anything, have received an inheritance? Yeah, I remember receiving an inheritance from somebody I didn't even know. It was a distant relative, and I got a check in the mail. Praise the Lord. You know what I'm saying? It was amazing, right? It was exciting. Here's the thing, though. What if somebody just told you about an inheritance, but it never came? Said, you're going to get this. How would you feel after a while? You'd be like, what's the point, right? Well, here's the deal. There's lots of people that know about the inheritance. In other words, they read the Bible, and they see the promises, and there they are, clear as day. But they're not possessing the inheritance. In other words, they're not experiencing those promises for themselves in their own life. And that's what God wants us to be able to do. Not just hear about it, but experience it. And so as we look at Joshua here, we're going to see some things that will help you and I not only be hearers of the word, but doers of the word as well. In other words, experience all that God has for us. So let's take a look back at this just for a minute, a couple of the verses. If you look at Joshua 1:1, we could actually spend our whole time here, but we're not going to. But it says, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua. Okay, some of your versions say, instead of it came to pass, it says this, after many days. How many people in their version says that? Anyone here? All right, couple hands. Okay, not many. All right, well, in newer versions, it says that. Here's the point. It came to pass, meaning, look it, life isn't every moment God is speaking, something's happening. You know, I wish that every moment that was happening. But here's the thing. There are times where time will pass before God speaks to you. And we see that he does speak. He speaks to Joshua, doesn't he? But it says it came to pass. So we have to look at our lives that way. There are going to be times where it seems like heaven is silent. Well, what are we supposed to do? Let me tell you what we're supposed to do. We're to occupy. We're to live life. We're to still live for Jesus. We're still to do the right things. All of that should still be happening, whether we're hearing from the Lord or not. You know, I know some Christians, they go to their sock drawer. Lord, what color socks should I wear today? They go to their fridge. Should I have orange juice or apple juice, Jesus? Come on. You got a brain, right? Like, what do you want to have? In other words, it's okay to just experience life and make some decisions on your own. But you've always got an ear towards heaven so that when time has passed, in other words, when it's time for God to speak, that we have an ear towards heaven that we're open to when he speaks. This is just so important. You know, you look at the book of Acts. And, you know, and if you follow the life of the Apostle Paul, it would say, you know, the next day this happened, and then this happened, and that happened. You get the idea that, look at it, if you're a Christian that's on fire for Jesus, that literally every moment, every day, there's some big, exciting thing happening. But if you look at the book of Acts, do you know that that spans 30 years of time? And it would say, hey, he was here for 2 years. He was here for back in Arabia for 14 years in the deserts of Arabia. We don't even know what happened, if anything, back there other than maybe just hit Paul following the Lord. And so the point is, what we need to remind ourselves as that God's never early, he's never late, and just to be ready when he does speak, but to occupy, serve him while we're maybe not hearing anything at that moment. Amen? You know, something that I've learned, this is just for me, that often when God does speak, it's to correct me. And so I just serve him, and I'm not always looking forward to sometimes always hearing from him, because it's like, hey, you're doing this wrong, or have you thought about this? And so here's the thing. If we're doing what God's called us to do, let's just hold on to his hand and just walk with him. And he'll speak when it's necessary. But keep an ear towards heaven. He's always speaking, amen? That's the heart of God towards you and I. All right, so we go on, and it says in verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. Okay, remember I said to you earlier that we're kind of in a duality here, in that we're reading about a physical country. We're reading about the land of Canaan, where they're crossing a real river that has real water in it to go to a new land. Well, what's interesting, when we look at the original Hebrew of a couple of these words, it says every place. That word place can mean physical place or state of your mind or spirit. So literally, even in the Old Testament, it's making it clear that this isn't just about physical things, that there's a spiritual component to it. And so what does the Lord say? He says, look, wherever you put the sole of your foot, I have given to you. Here's the thing, in your mind and in my mind, there are areas that we have not yet given over to the Lord. The Bible refers to them as strongholds, different ways of thinking, attitudes, those kinds of things. And yet here's the word of God saying, in the Old Testament even, telling us that wherever we set our foot, wherever we place our foot, that we will overcome. And so in those areas of thinking right now that maybe is a no-go zone for you, where maybe you haven't applied the scriptures to it and done what God's called you to do, it's time to take that ground for Jesus. And it's not on the outside of you, it's on the inside. It's in your heart, in your mind. And you need to make that decision to begin to take ground for the Lord. And that's what the Lord's telling Joshua. You need to, wherever you put your foot. And what does that mean? It means that Joshua's moving forward, right? He's taking a step forward. And that's what you and I need to do, taking acts of faith to step forward in what God's called us to do to overcome in the areas of our mind, in the areas of our thinking. You know, I can't speak for you, but I still have strongholds on the inside of me. I still have wrong ways of thinking, attitudes that I have to deal with. Hopefully not as bad as it was 5 years ago or 10 years ago, but I am not a finished work yet. My spirit man is perfect. God has made me complete on the inside of my spirit, but my mind is what? Being renewed daily in Christ Jesus. That's what the word says. And so what we need to do is take territory in our minds. In other words, when you're not thinking right, stop yourself. You know, even if you got to slap you, you know, what am I thinking? What am I thinking? You know, and say, Lord, I want to think right here. I want to do right here. I want to bring honor and glory to you. You'd be amazed at the response you'll get from the Lord when you react that way. Catch yourself before you go and say or do something you shouldn't do. So let's go on. Verse 5, no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. And then look at this. I will not leave you nor forsake you. This is so important. In fact, it's repeated in the book of Hebrews, I believe in chapter 13, where it says, God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. You see, those obstacles before you knew Christ, you were on your own to deal with it. But now, as a believer in the Lord is with you, and you are not alone anymore, and he will help you to overcome every obstacle that's in your life. Okay, then he goes on in verse 6, be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. And so listen, for you to have your inheritance, you're going to have to be strong and have courage. And it's just so, so important as believers. You know that word strong, you know what it means? It means to hang on, to seize and not let go. Can I tell you something? If it was easy to attain to the promises of God, every believer would be experiencing them. It's not easy. You need to be strong and courageous to be able to possess those things. Now, here's the cool part. God has given each and every one of us the ability to do it. The question is, are we making that decision to do it? Then he says in verse 7 again, only be strong and very courageous. You know, God just doesn't say this once. He actually says it three times to Joshua. There's got to be a reason for that, right? And so he goes, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. You don't turn to the left or to the right, that you may prosper wherever you go. Now, have a look at this. So now we're beginning to get some keys in how we can experience that inheritance, how we can experience the promises, how we can become courageous. So here's what he says. If you're strong and courageous and you observe to do according to all the law. Now, back then, they didn't have the entire Bible. They had the first five books of the Bible. So they had the law. And that word observe doesn't mean that you just kind of look at it like, you know, if you went outside and saw a shooting star at night, oh, I observed the shooting star. That's not what this is talking about. When it says observe, it means to box it in. It means to see it and then do it. And so literally that's what it's saying here. So to be strong and courageous, you have to observe the law, do what the word says, and here's the cool part, that you will do what? Prosper wherever you go. Now, that word prosper, there's a couple different synonyms for it. It means to have good success. Sometimes we see the word prosper or prosperity, immediately we think money. Now, it doesn't not mean that, but it means much more than that. It means waking up in the morning, whether your bank account's got tons of zeros in it or just one big zero, okay, and saying, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, that I'm not begging bread because your word promises that your children will not beg bread and you'll make a way. And that this day you've got set aside for me and you've got a plan to be glorified in it. I look forward to this day. That's the kind of life it's talking about. The prosperous kind of life, a successful kind of life that's walking with Jesus on a daily basis, that you're not being overcome by all the circumstances, but rather you are overcoming those circumstances by faith. That's the kind of life. And then the next verse actually reiterates on that even more. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night that you may observe to do all that is according that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not? And then it goes on. But here's the thing. He's making it even clearer about meditating on the word. So not only observing it, boxing it in, but meditating. And that in the original Hebrew means taking it in and murmuring it out. In other words, it literally, it's on your lips all the time. You know, Brenda talked about, you know, she knew this scripture, but didn't remember where it was. Well, in a sense, the address is man-made, right? You know, we turn to Joshua 1:1. Well, that was put in by man. But the thing is, it's more important to know the verse than where it is. You can always find it. Just ask Google. Google knows where all the verses are. It's amazing, you know? I've even had to do that sometimes. I'm like, darn it, I know part of this verse. And I say, hey, Google, where's this scripture verse? And I say part of it, and Google says, here it is. And boom, there it is. Thank you, Google. You're such a godly guy. You know, it just seems to know where all the scriptures are. And so the point is, you know, use whatever tools we've got. But here's the thing. Keep it not only in your mind, but coming out of your mouth, confessing it on a regular basis all of the time. And let me tell you something. When you're meditating on the word and speaking the word, you're staying out of trouble. You know, there was a saying that my mom had all the time, and it's absolutely true. I can attest to it. An idle mind, what's the last part? Is the devil's playground. Anybody heard that? Okay, yeah, a few of you remember that. Well, and the thing is, if we keep God's word, meditating on it and thinking on it and speaking it out and living it, it doesn't leave any time for the devil to run roughshod over us and damage us. Amen? Okay, then verse 9. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you shall go. And so here's this is like the final point. First of all, it's a commandment to be strong and of good courage. But if you're not strong and of good courage, you'll be afraid and dismayed. Which one would you rather be? Strong and courageous or afraid and dismayed? Because literally they're opposite to one another, right? For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You see, God is with you every step of the way. So here's the thing. Joshua had just, you know, he's crossing over into the promised land. He's made it, right? You would think, well, you know, if this is the end and we stop reading, we're like, okay, great. To cross over in the promised land, I got to be strong and courageous. I inherit all the promises. Everything's good, right? All right, well, why did God tell him three times to be strong and courageous? That means there's going to be something to be afraid of. There's something to be dismayed about coming up. I want to look at three verses as we finish out today. Just flip over in your Bible. to Joshua chapter 5. Now, unfortunately, in this promised land, the enemy still lived there. Enemies of God still lived there. And so Joshua and his armies had to drive them out. Can I tell you that the promised land that you and I have is in our minds? And we have to drive the enemy out. All those wrong ways of thinking and attitudes and experiences that don't line up with God has to be pushed out. We got to push the enemy back so that we can occupy it in the name of Jesus. And so in this account, there is a physical city that Joshua is having to drive out, but the principles are the same. And so look at this at verse 13, Joshua 5, 13. And look at the first few words, and it came to pass. So there it is again, after many days. In other words, it took a while before this happened, right? Came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshipped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. So this city of Jericho was literally just across into the promised land. And it's literally the first place that Joshua and the children of Israel run into. And in fact, they have to conquer it before they can move forward into the rest of the land. And you may be feeling like this right now, that you've got an obstacle before you that is unconquerable, unpenetrable. And literally, this city represented that. It literally was a huge city. The walls were so thick that tradition has it that they used to have chariot races around the top of it. Can you imagine that? In fact, most theologians believe that as tall as it was as wide as it was. It was a massive wall. And this city had been there for generations. They had a water source. They had food. Basically, it was closed up. And they could have stayed there for years inside that city, and Joshua wouldn't be able to get through to it. And so here's Joshua. What's he doing? Well, it says that he lifts his eyes up, right? We read that. It says, if you look at in verse 13, it says he lifted his eyes and looked. I wonder whether he was there scouting out the city. And he's just praying. His eyes are closed. He's like, "God, what do I do here?" Now, I don't know whether he heard the sword coming out of its sheath, from the other man that was there. I don't know. But his attention was gathered, and he lifts his eyes up, and he sees this person off into the distance. And I'm sure Joshua pulled out his own sword. Now, what I love about Joshua, did he run? Did he go that way? No, literally goes straight up to the guy, just straight up to him. He says, "Look, are you for us? Or are you for the enemy, for our adversaries?" Now, what was the answer that was given? It was an interesting answer, wasn't it? Verse 14, and he said, "No." What kind of answer is that? What do you mean? No, aren't you for me? Or again, what do you mean, no? And that's the answer that was given. No. "But as the commander, the army of the Lord of hosts, I have come." How does Joshua respond to that? He said, "Well, no, you got to be for me." He doesn't say that at all, does he? He hits the ground in worship, prostrate to the ground, literally hits the ground. And the Lord says to him, "Take off your sandals, you're on holy ground." In fact, it's very similar wording to some 40 years before when Moses meets God in the burning bush. And God says to him, "Take off your sandals, you're on holy ground." See, this is what's known as a pre-incarnate Christ. In other words, Jesus showed up. This angel of the Lord, the host of the armies, this is Jesus. And I know for some of us, it's hard to wrap our head around it. We're like, "Well, hold it. Wasn't Jesus born like a couple thousand years later in a manger?" Yeah, he was. He came in the form of a baby. That's what the Bible says. Yet the Bible also says that nothing we see and nothing we can't see was created without Jesus. He made it all. And so he's always existed. Always. And the reason why we can say for sure that this is Jesus, it's very clear. And here's the litmus test for this. When an angel would show up and people would try to worship the angel, what did the angel say to them? "No. Don't worship me. Worship God alone." And you see in this particular account, here's Joshua worshiping. And did this person say, "Oh, no, don't worship me. Worship God only"? You know why? Because he was Jesus showing up in the flesh as a pre-incarnate Lord. He was there. Jesus showing up. Can you imagine? Listen, I'll give God all the time in the world if Jesus wants to show up like that and talk to me. Amen. It came to pass right after many days. I'll wait as many days as Jesus wants if he wants to show up and talk to me like that. And so he shows up and he speaks to Joshua. Now, we're not going to talk about what happens other than to say this, that the Lord gives him these crazy instructions. Like, I mean, bizarre instructions of how to defeat Jericho. Now, here's the thing. Joshua had led many battles and had tremendous victories against other kings, wiped out armies, you know, the regular way, you know. Sword fights, you know, going and doing their thing. You know, totally wiped out whole other nations stronger than them. But the instructions God gives, he says, Joshua, here's what you're going to do. You take the army, and for 6 days, once a day, you're going to march around Jericho and go back to camp. And then on the seventh day, Josh, this is what you're going to do. You're going to march around seven times on that day, and at the end of the seventh march, you're going to all shout, and the walls are going to fall down, and you'll be able to take the city. Now, can you imagine, Josh? I know if it was me, I'd be like, seriously? Lord, are you sure this is the plan? Like, this doesn't even make any sense. Are you sure? But here's the thing. Joshua knew his God enough to be obedient. And when you go on and read the account, it happens exactly how God said it would. So I want to leave you this morning with two key points from what I've been talking about. In a sense, this is an introduction to courage. Now, here's my first one. And they're going to put up on the screen. It's worth writing down. Do you have the courage to bow the knee to the one greater than yourself? See, here's Joshua, the commander of all the armies of Israel. And he's laying prostrate before the Lord. You might say, well, of course I've got the courage to do that. Oh, really? Do you really have the courage to do that? See, it takes a lot of courage to bow the knee and admit that someone's greater than yourself. You see, before we meet Jesus, the only great one in our lives is ourselves. We serve ourselves. That's what we do. That's by nature. That's old nature. That's what we do. And to surrender that self to someone else is very, very difficult. It takes an act of God. Are you willing to bow the knee? Are you willing to have the courage to bow the knee to one greater than yourself? And it's easy to say, oh yeah, Jesus, yeah, I do that. And if you're a believer, you've done this already at one point when you accepted him as your Savior. But I'm talking about every day. Are you bowing the knee to the one that is greater than yourself? And then let me give you the next point. Do you have the courage to obey what he tells you to do? So not only to the bow of the knee and worship him, but when he speaks and it seems so outrageous maybe or so different than what you are willing to do that you still do it. Do you have that courage? See, that's the kind of courage that God is looking for us to be strong and courageous. This very week, I had a circumstance happen where I missed it. I didn't bow the knee. I didn't do what he told me to do. I was on my phone. This is Thursday or Friday. I was on my phone because I was getting a name and number to text someone. I wanted to encourage them. I do a lot of that. I send emails and texts at times as the Lord speaks to me. So I was busy doing that. And as I was flipping through my phone, as I was scrolling, a name came up that was in my contact list. And the Holy Spirit immediately said, you need to contact them right now. Send them a text and let them know that no matter what happens, that I am with them. You know what I did? I kept doing what I was. I'm like, okay, I'll do that. And so then I started doing some other stuff, and then I got distracted doing some other stuff, and my daughter calls me on the phone, and I'm hearing fire trucks in the background. I'm at home, and I'm right on 9G, so I hear the fire trucks, and my daughter said to me, you know so-and-so? And I said, yeah, and I'm like, oh my God, that was the same. Their house is burning down right now. And I'm like, oh. So right away, you know, I sent a text to the person, say, hey, I hear you got a fire going on. I'm really sorry to hear about that. You know, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your family. And he thanked me. But how much more powerful would that have been an hour before that event happened to let them know that God was with them no matter what was happening? Because God is with us no matter what is happening. But God uses people like you and I to do some crazy things, like send a text that is like, I don't think this is very important. I'll do it later. I missed out in two levels. First of all, that person now, couldn't that have been a God moment for him? He'd be like, man, God knows. Wouldn't that have been a great witness to that person? And then what about for me, where I missed out on an opportunity to be a part of the kingdom? So it's like lose-lose instead of win-win. And here's the thing. God is doing these kinds of things all the time in our life. And are we bowing the knee to him? So you begin to see what I'm talking about. It's not just lip service. Oh, yeah, I bow the knee to you, Jesus. But rather when he speaks and he asks us to do something, when time passes and he finally does say something, are we willing to do what he tells us to do at that moment? Not like, oh, yeah, I'll get to it whenever. Don't be like me. Don't miss it like I did. But just follow through so that he's glorified, so that you can advance through your inheritance and the land of promise that God's got for you. Let's stand together. You know, this message on courage is very real to me. And I'm seeking to be strong and of good courage just as much as each and every one of you are. Those that are here and those that are online, I believe that this is a missing ingredient in the body of Christ right now. We're living in a fear-filled world right now. And the thing is, we need people who will be strong and courageous to stand for the righteous one, for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, right now, I thank you for every person here. I thank you for those that have been watching. And Lord, I pray that they've been encouraged and strengthened, Lord God, to do what you've called them to do. And in doing so, be blessed through the process of it. Lord God, I pray that we are willing to bow the knee to the one that is greater. And just as important, that we're willing to do and have the courage to do when he speaks to us. Lord God, I pray we don't procrastinate any longer. For Lord, that's not what you've called us to do, but to see you as the number one priority in our lives. So Lord, right now I speak a blessing upon your people that as they go forth, Lord God, that they will be strong and be of good courage in every circumstance. And Lord, when they see that obstacle, maybe the same obstacle they saw yesterday, that they will say, this is not an obstacle, but this is an opportunity to glorify you, Lord. That they will begin to speak your word over that and see it move out of the way, just as Joshua did. And we just thank you for his example. In fact, Lord, I thank you that his name, Joshua, means the Lord saves. What a great example, Lord God, for us. You do save. You do deliver. You do help anyone who calls upon your name. So bless each one here. Bless those that have been watching as they go forth into this world as a light for you. Being strong and courageous. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you this morning. If you'd like prayer for anything, we are here for you. God bless you.